Are here again, and you know what? We're taking this little run from the Leafs as, you know, viewing either the glass half empty or half full. And Kian, which are you viewing it as?
It's just a glass of water. Because I don't, it's neither full or empty. It's just there. That's all right. Well, about it.
We're starting off with the California road trip, and I can tell you right now that glass had a hole in it.
That glass was shattered. On that road trip, the glass was shattered.
Yeah, it was no good. And Leafs Nation is freaking out, calling for Keith to be fired, which, by the way, was just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's got the best winning percentage in Leaf history, I'm pretty sure, as a coach. Like, he's not the problem. We've known this for a long time. It's the players. It's they need to fucking pull their weight. It's that simple.
Pretty much. And I mean, we finished the last episode off talking about how things have not been the best. And we're like, well, we really need a good road trip out of these guys. And then they drop all three of them.
Yeah. And in, like, bad ways. At least they got points on two of them, but, like, still.
Yeah, I mean, that one against the Sharks was a tough pill to swallow, mainly because apparently Erik Karlsson decided to become the Erik Karlsson from the days of the Senators.
Yeah, he decided to be worth his contract for a night.
on the flip side of that, he has actually been really good ever since then. So maybe it's the, you know, he's making a comeback.
Yeah, but the Sharks as a team are not good, which is why it's weird. He's like too good that he's going to keep them from getting a top pick. Like, he's almost going to force them into being a middle of the pack, like, bottom feeder just outside the playoffs.
If I were them, I would be shopping him.
But he's got like 4 years left at $11.5 million.
But he's finally playing up to his contract.
Yeah, but nobody can take on that size contract. Even if you eat half, that's still,
you got to get like a third team involved.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to double cut that to make that work somehow, especially if he's going to have to go to a contender, which, and he's a full no move. So, like, you'd have to really be enticing him. And he's not going to go anywhere that it's either beautiful weather or a contender. So he'll probably end up in Tampa.
Well, the fucker broke David Camp's streak.
Yeah, that jerk.
Because Camper, he was the first goal scorer for the Leafs, which, you know, love the guy, but where's everybody else?
Yeah. Nah, like that whole road trip, there was like nothing really redeeming. And what, like, it was annoying. You would like see them play for like maybe shifts at a time, not even periods at a time, like shifts at a time. You'd be like, oh, okay, there's the Leafs. Oh, and then, oh, now they're getting pummeled again. And then, it didn't make any sense. And then when we see after that road trip, makes it make even less sense. Because how are those the same teams? Like, the only difference is one defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what was going on with them. I mean, it doesn't quite make any sense. Of course, you know, losing Samsonov hurts.
Really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, but I mean, that even that wasn't until the game against Boston. So, like, he was actually pretty solid.
He was pretty solid. Very solid.
I mean, you know, Sjogren has two of the three games in California. So, I mean, the two that go to overtime were actually Sjogren. But
the LA game was also their worst game. Like, they got trounced by LA.
Yeah, that was,
they weren't even in that game. Bad.
I mean, Tavares opened the scoring, and
it was all downhill from there.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can't let three unanswered goals go in after that.
Yeah, no, it's just unacceptable. Like at least that, and that was the only team they played. They had played to that point that it was like in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, it was ugly all around, and we took a lot of penalties as well. A lot of penalties.
They just, I'm really like undisciplined penalties.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of that lately. Just across the board, a lot of just bad penalties to take. And I mean, it wasn't as bad against the Ducks. So, I mean, I guess that's a silver lining. And, you know, Matthews gets on the board on the power play, and you know, Malgin scoring goals, and Kelly Yarncroak. It's like, these are the most random guys putting the pucks in, aside from Matthews. So, but it seems like that's been the trend. It's like the third line is carrying this team.
But like, we want to be excited about how that first period went, but then you blow a 3-1 lead and it's all for nothing.
Yeah. And blow it in OT. We're really bad at OT, it seems.
Yeah, which you think, you know, with a team with, you know, our players, we'd be good at it.
Well, the biggest problem I've seen in our 3-on-3 game is we just give up possession too easily, and possession is everything in 3-on-3. We'll try to make a cheeky play. Mitch has done it a couple times, and coughs it up, and then they have possession, and then it may be a minute, maybe 3 minutes later, but they have possession the whole time, and then they score. Because if you have possession in 3-on-3, you can keep possession for a very long time because there's so much space out there.
It's true.
And the team that has possession, it has a much higher chance of winning. And so if you, I find they're coughing up possession too willingly, you know. I think they're not emphasizing keeping the puck enough in 3-on-3, because that is truly what it's all about if you want to win the hockey game.
And the weird thing is that you can tell that when they get the puck, they want to keep possession, and then they make a silly play.
Yeah, and then they do something stupid. They try why to force something. Why has that been the theme of this year, it seems? We have just been playing all right hockey, but then the defensive mistakes are just so glaring, and they're not always coming from defensemen.
That's because everyone is suffering from Jake Gardner symptom.
Oh no, don't say that.
Tell me I'm wrong though. Like, literally everyone's just doing what Jake Gardner did. Play panic. Great and then panic and make bad plays that lead to goals. They might only be 2-3 mistakes, but they end up in the back of our net.
Like, at the worst time.
It's uncanny how, like, it's like the Ducks game, the third period was a perfect example. Like, literally we gave them two chances and boom, boom. Like, mistakes in the net. Mistake in the net.
Yeah.
It was really, yeah. But then they come home finally and get to reset and, you know,
well,
face, you know, the streaking Philadelphia Flyers.
How about Torts and his comments on Keefe?
I mean, he's right.
For context, he stood up for Keith and said to the Toronto media, "I hope he sticks it to you guys," or something along those lines.
That's exactly what he said.
And he said not tonight because he was facing him. But then they did exactly that and stuck it to Torts.
And they played really solid. I mean, yeah, like, JT, Captain fucking...
Can we talk about just how good John Tavares has been? Like, holy shit. But this game especially, like the hat trick game, and that second goal was a goal of the year candidate. Like, that was gross. That was vintage JT.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I've shed a tear watching it. It was so beautiful.
And I think I'm so proud of JT, mainly because coming into the season, all you heard was, oh, he's not going to live up to that contract. He's slowing down and, you know, he's getting old. He's not the same JT that he was.
He's on pace for a career year right now.
And so JT's sticking it to everybody.
But that's the thing, is like, that's one of the things that bothers me about this team is like, they never seem to get pissed off. Like, sometimes, occasionally, when like a fight breaks out, but they never really get pissed off. Even in this game, they didn't get really pissed off until they started going after Matthews. But like, I want to see them get pissed off when they're losing.
Oh man, the internet blew up over that.
Well, yeah, I mean, fucking Travis Konecny is trying to bait Matthews into fighting. Like,
yeah, what's but the point? Then Gio comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and fucking Batman. And
football tackles.
Batman just emerging from the night, just fucking tackling him.
Old man Gio just looking out for the kids.
Hey, that's what he's there for.
But then Konecny tries to go after him again, and then Bunting tackles
him. And then he came back a third time, too. He's like, what oh are you God. Doing? You freaking pigeon.
Man, no, never, everybody's like, oh, yeah, why didn't Matthews fight? And it's like, Matthews shouldn't have to fight, but I loved a lot of the responses I saw to that. It's like, you really wouldn't be saying that if this was McDavid, McKinnon, McCarr, it's Crosby. You wouldn't be saying it if it was any of those guys. So why do you have to say it about Matthews? He is on their level. So these stars shouldn't be fighting.
Well,
especially one with wrist issues. And yeah,
and one that's a shooter and needs his hands.
Yeah. You don't want him to break his hand punching a helmet and then, you know, our goals go pew.
Well, I mean, at least he's scoring now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it took him a while to warm up, but it did last year, too. So, I was never worried about Matthews putting the puck in the net.
He's got a lot of ground to cover catching up to McDavid. Man is rolling. See, McDavid has 14 goals already.
How's Jack Campbell doing?
I can tell you this, he's doing better than Thatcher Demko.
Fair enough, but Thatcher Demko isn't a former Leaf.
It's true. This is true. In fact, the
that we almost had right now.
There are Leaf players who beat Thatcher Demko in the Calder Cup final. Namely, Pierre Engvall. But yeah, it was nice to get the Philly game. Get them back. It seemed like a confidence-boosting type of night. The captain leading the way, leading the charge, being a captain, leading by example. Love to see it. And then we roll into the death weekend. 3 games in 4 nights against 3 teams with a 750 win percentage to this point.
Well, everybody's saying that the Leafs are now running a gauntlet here.
And in history, no team has ever beaten 3 teams in a row that have a 750 win percentage. And the Leafs got 5 of 6 points to get them. Pretty solid. Man,
this Leafs team has a habit that I had in minor hockey, which is playing up or down to your competition. And we do it often. I mean, we play down to the shit teams and we play up to the good teams. It's like, what are we? Like, are we a good team or are we a shit team? We can't just play to the caliber of the team we're playing against. We need to be above that every time.
We need to be playing our game, not their game.
No, exactly. And I think that's why we've run into such a problem, because I find more of the good teams play a closer game to our style versus the bad teams don't. And that knocks us off our game. So that's why we end up losing to those. We end up winning against good teams.
Which is, like, still so backwards.
Oh, so backwards. It makes no fucking sense.
Like, you should steamroll the fucking bad teams, and then you should, you know, go splits against the good teams. Like, yeah, when we were on good teams, like, you couldn't wait to play the teams at the bottom of the league, because it was points night. You just fucking stomped them. You go out there, and you're like, okay, time for us to put you away and say goodnight. Right, but then, you know, when you play against another challenging team, but then okay, well, you know, you're expecting a good game, and in this game, like, the Leafs, like, it's almost like they only want to play hard and well when the game is going to be a good game.
Well, before we get into this Boston game, I want to talk about something else that had to do with Boston. And it happened right before this game. Was the signing of controversial player Mitchell Miller. And at first, I didn't know the kid, didn't know anything about him. I didn't know why everybody was so up in arms. So, naturally, after seeing some of the player interviews that were shocking, quite frankly, when have you ever seen players come out against one of their GM's moves, like, to the public right away?
Big names on the team too, not just like some fucking fourth line player.
We're talking Bergeron, Marchand, and Foligno all saying stuff, and I'm like, okay, what the hell did this kid do? So I did some research, and I found two heartbreaking accounts of what Mitchell Miller did. One was from the victim's mother, and one was from the victim himself. Both of which were equally disgusting. I mean, everybody says one-time incident, but we're talking about just under a decade of constant physical and mental torture, not to mention blatant racism. And I think that's just disgusting. And the fact that his parents covered for him every single time until there was video of it shows that they're probably more to blame than Mitchell. But I agree with the masses that this kid should never play in the NHL. It's a privilege to play in the NHL. And you want to be a shitty human being, and apparently the only remorseful things he did were court-mandated. No.
So I think one of the worst things I read was like how he would pretend to be the guy, the kid's friend, and then make him do really bad shit. And you're like,
well, one of them was like, hey, come sit with me on the bus, and then his friends would surround him and punch him in the head. Like, fuck you, man.
What a piece of shit. Yeah, no, he should never play in the league. And the Bruins players were noticeably rattled in that game.
Oh, yeah. And, well, it worked in our favor.
That it did. That it did. And thankfully, because Eric Schalker coming in for the third period scared the living bejesus out of me.
Yeah, against the Bruins. And, you know, seeing Samsonov go down on that penalty shot. That's tough.
Very awkwardly. Very awkwardly. Not great.
But, you know, all we had to do is trust in Austin Matthews.
He does love to score against Atlantic opponents.
That's great. He'll score against anybody. That's the beauty of Austin
Matthews. The amount of goals he has against, like, Montreal, Ottawa, and Boston are insane.
Insane. I cannot believe that the Bruins GM still has a job right now.
Yeah, I don't know. And like they're like the president of hockey operations even came out and was like, yeah, I don't know, I don't even know, and like really disappointed, and it's like, why haven't you done anything about it?
Yeah, like you guys they rescinded his contract, but it's like it never should have been handed out in the first place without doing a background check. Especially because there is a record that he was criminally charged for this.
Like, literally due diligence. Like, you're signing a legal contract and paying this kid hundreds of thousands of dollars. You want to be sure that they're not a piece of shit.
Because the reason all the players are pissed because they don't want that toxicity coming into the room.
You don't want that toxicity in the league, let alone in the room. I don't even want that in the AHL. You does not belong in.
I'm sure the KHL will take him.
Yeah, send him. Go. Fucking punt him. Punt him like Baxter and fucking Anchorman. Right off the fucking bridge.
No, kick Baxter.
Kick him right into his glass case of emotion.
All right, but a solid W, despite all the odds being stacked against us, you know, scoring on the penalty shot, Samsonov going out. Just happy we beat the Bruins. It's always sweet. It's
always sweet to beat the Bruins. And we dominated the Bruins, too. Like, we did not allow an actual goal. Like, we let a power, it was a penalty shot, right? So, really, that's a 2-0 game. And
I mean, like, that, it was a pretty blatant penalty shot.
Oh no, I'm not saying it wasn't, but I'm saying from a defensive standpoint, there wasn't the mistakes that have been plaguing us all season.
Yeah,
you know, we played a solid defensive game, and it showed. It was great.
Yep, and then stop number two again in this gauntlet was the Carolina Hurricanes,
which is way scarier.
They're a really good team.
And on a back-to-back, and they're waiting for us.
And they opened the scoring, too, which also...
Yeah, Stefan Nosen.
Made things scary.
I forgot they had Brent Burns until we were playing them.
I know, he looks weird in a Canes jersey. Super weird.
But also, those jerseys fucking suck.
Yeah, they're reverse retros.
Yeah, they were really bad.
Yeah, they look like Devils jerseys.
They look like they were designed by five-year-olds.
It looks like Devil's jersey with Canes across the front. It's like,
yeah, it's just, it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, I didn't really have any complaints about them when I saw them online, but seeing them in a game, I'm like, that's not the best. But still not the worst reverse retros, but we should get into that.
For the first goal Lee scored this game, big shout out to Justin Hall. You know,
who's getting a lot of hate these days. Every
person who has played contact hockey has heard the saying, take a hit to make the play. Everyone who's played contact hockey, you've heard the saying, take the hit to make the play. It is way more important to make the right play and get labeled than to not make the right play and get labeled anyways. So he freaking gets run over, but gets the puck to Engvall, who finds that open Kale Yarncroc, and, well, there's that shot we were freaking waiting for since the preseason.
Kale Yarncroc, baby. He's been a pretty solid pickup. I've been pleased.
Yeah, he's been decent. 3 goals, not bad.
It's JT again and Nylander again. JT and Nylander have been just
that Nylander goal was such a classic Freddie goal. Such a classic, classic Freddie goal.
But who would know how to score the classic Freddie goals better than his former team?
Sure. But like, I feel like every time we've played him since, we've scored a chintzy goal on him. And that was always my problem with Freddie. It was like he would be play great and then let in the chintzy one. And it was always the chintzy one always came at a bad time, just like this time.
Are you calling him the Jake Gardner of goalies?
Ooh. No. No.
Not that bad.
No. Yeah, not that bad. But close.
And Nick Robertson, I think he's been an absolute gem as well. It's just too bad that he's waiver exempt because, well, he's going to be in and out of the lineup for that exact reason. Because otherwise we risk losing Malgin.
And Malgin
has been very good.
Wow. Wow.
Who saw that coming?
Like, I have been very impressed. Very impressed. I even put it in our chat when we were watching the game on the 5th, like, just, it's the little things, you know? And, like, his decision-making with the puck, it's just so calm, cool, and collected, and just, like, taking the time to make the right decision. And, like, you can tell the European game kind of rubbed off on him because he was playing in Europe last year, right? So you can tell that
I thought he was playing with Florida last year.
No, that was 2 years ago. He was playing with Florida when we made the Mason Marchman trade. But yeah, that's 2 years back. So last year he was playing in Europe. So playing on the bigger ice surface, which obviously gives you more time and space, right? So therefore you're going to adjust to having that more time and space, right? And so you can see that now when he gets the puck, he doesn't panic. He like takes his time, makes the right decision, and he can be creative. But what I also like though is that as a third or fourth line player, he knows when to not gamble, when to make the simple play, right? And I think that is something that our star players struggle with sometimes, yeah. Is that they need to realize that you just doesn't always need to be beautiful. Sometimes you just need to make the easy, smart, simple play and get the fucking puck out. Like, it doesn't matter how it gets down there. Just get it down there, you know? And that's not just Mitch. Maddie does it too. JT does it too. Riley does it all the fucking time.
Well, I mean, Mitch single-handedly lost us a game.
True.
Was that the Ducks game?
That was the Ducks game.
That game is on Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Singularly.
Yeah, both those third period goals were.
We never even talked about it. He got benched.
Oh yeah.
And I would have kept him out for the rest of the game, especially when he went to smash his stick.
I wouldn't have benched him for the rest of the game.
I would only have done that because he smashed his stick.
It doesn't matter. There's a point where you have to start, like. There's punishment, and then there's sobering your team. Like, I agree that the punishment of one shift was not enough. Not even close to enough. But the rest of the game is too excessive. Like, I would have said he should have missed an allotted amount of time on the clock versus just missing a shift. So if he was, like, getting sat at the 9-minute mark, he should be sat till the 5-minute mark. Like, you're sitting on the bench for 4 fucking minutes because you're a fucking liability. Like, straight up a liability. And so sit there and think about it, right? But if you do the whole game, then you're just pissing him off. But if you just make him sit there and think about it for time watching line after line go on after in front of him, but the fact that it was only one shift, then you're like, it's like, you miss one shift when you like need a new skate blade, you know, like
any other equipment malfunction.
Yeah, like literally missing one shift is nothing. Like that's not, and the fact that he freaked out was,
well, that's why,
yeah, like, very
childish. It was, yeah. It reminded me of Matthew Tkachuk 2 years ago after Muzzin flipped the puck at him.
That's still one of the funniest moments ever.
It is, because Muzzin provoked it at him, but the reaction is eerily similar. Freaking out on the bench and breaking
shit. Yeah.
Just
tired. Yeah, Marta's got to grow up a little bit. He's got to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, and, well, that's it. Like, all the pieces are there, man. You just need to mature a little more and stop fucking being so hard on yourself mentally. Jesus Christ.
I don't know if he can.
I know he can't because he's from Toronto.
Yeah.
He feels the pressure that Matthews feel, but tenfold.
Are you of the opinion that Marner and Matthews should always play together?
I'm never of the opinion that the lines should be set in stone. I always think you should mix things up because this is the fucking NHL. Everybody watches tape. Everybody knows what your tricks are going to be. So you need to be constantly changing to stay competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like Marner and Tavares just have something. They just got some magic. Like, that goal?
You're talking about Tavares, the second one of the hat trick?
Yeah. No. The assist from Mitchie. What is it, the double pull?
Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Carolina, yeah. Like, that was a ridiculous move. Like redonk. I loved it. It was beautiful.
But I also think the stoicness of Tavares is good for Marner.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Learn to take some of the emotion out of it.
But also, like, I feel like Willie's, like, nonchalantness kind of helps Maddie, too, sometimes.
Sometimes. But I also think Nylander benefits from the Stoke. I think, who wouldn't want to play with John Tavares? Come on.
I mean, when the other option is Maddie, though.
Yeah, but Tavares is hustling in the corners for pucks a lot more than Matthews is. Like, Tavares is more likely to find you because he did the work to get the puck.
That's true. That is true.
And, but that's, like, that's classic JT. That's kind of his thing. If you want to, you know, just give the puck to Matthews and he's probably going to rip one bar down, like, yeah, there's perks to both. But one is going to get you the puck when you least expect it.
True.
Just because of hard work in the corners. Something Matthews could probably learn something from, which he's improving on, but, you know, I think
the consistency.
Yeah, and the puck protection from Tavares, I think he could learn some stuff there.
Yeah, Matty needs to learn how to use his ass.
Yeah, the Jager. The Jager was the, like, best at it.
Like, we should send him to Czech Republic to, like, train out a Jager for, like, a summer. Just like, hey, Jager, can you teach Matty how to shove his butt into people's faces?
Oh, it's hilarious, but it's solid advice.
Well, like, anyone who watched Jager growing up, like, literally, he would get the puck at the corner, and you would not be able to get the puck. He would just shove his ass out like fucking Kyle Lowry and, like, just make you eat it. And he would just keep it there and then wait till you get tired, and then he would dangle you and make you look like a fucking moron and then snipe on your goaltender and then do the fucking salute to just be like, all right, good job, buddy. Thanks. See you next year. Like, what a fucking savage.
Fucking legend, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if Matty wants to be considered among those greats, he's got to add that piece to his game.
Yeah, it's a huge piece, because another name that does that extremely well,
Sidney? Is
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's 100% true. Sid the Kid, his legs are absolute fucking tree trunks. And,
he knows how to use them.
Yeah, his lower body is... To protect the puck. Yeah, it's insane. Insane. But to get into this most recent game against the Vegas Golden Knights, round two. And fuck.
I was there.
Fucking Jack Eichel. Why does he always need to score against us?
What a jerk. You know, so Morgan and I at the game were trying to decide which curly-headed fuck is Jekyll. Is he Will Ferrell or is he John C. Reilly?
He's Will Ferrell.
I said John C. Reilly.
But he's specifically Will Ferrell in Zoolander?
Step Brothers. It's got to be Step Brothers.
No.
Well, we were talking.
I know, but he's Will Ferrell with, like, the crazy hair.
Zoolander.
Yeah, Zoolander.
Like, with the white hair and the...
Yeah. That's Jekyll.
What? That doesn't work. Why would he have white hair?
Because he's a fucking crazy person.
Anyway. So... this game was fun to watch, except for the defensive breakdowns. Jesus Christ. Rasmus Sandin, you are 1,000,000% to blame for that first goal. That was just irresponsible defense at the line, and you got caught.
Yeah.
Hey, you really got caught brutal. Bad.
Honestly, that first period, and I wonder if we felt this way watching it in person, but it felt like watching pond hockey. You know, where it's just like, Ivan Rush, give away, oop, missed this pass.
A lot of sloppy mistakes, but then fucking Timothy Liljegren. Fucking, what a stud. First game.
Kid's all right. Not first game.
Wasn't it his first game?
No, his first game was Boston, bro.
All right, well, third game, two goals.
Yeah. Not bad.
And they were scored like the exact same way too, yeah, except the second one had a way nastier pass.
Although I would, that's so true. But I was reading this article in The Athletic the other day, and it was talking about how like we shouldn't be surprised that Liljegren is developed into a top pairing defenseman.
He's overripened in the AHL.
No, but it's more so if you look back to like January before his draft year, he was ranked number 2 behind Nolan Patrick, which means he was ranked ahead of Cale Makar. He was ranked ahead of Miro Heiskanen. Think about that for a second. But then he got mono and missed the rest of the year. And so he dropped from second all the way to 17th to us.
Perfect. Happy to have him.
And then Heiskanen went 3 and Makar went 4. And we know that they're both fucking incredible. But this is a kid who, you know, was...
Has talent.
Has the same as
he's a first round pick.
Yeah.
And so is Sandin, but I think Liljegren's further ahead.
Well, he's a year older.
He is, yeah. It's funny, the dynamics constantly have been changing between those two. We're like, oh no, Sandin's further ahead. Oh no, Liljegren's further ahead. It's been back and forth for like 5 years.
It's true. But like I feel like Liljegren we were more patient with Liljegren. As far as his development cycle, we kind of tried to force Sandin in.
I really liked what I saw out of Liljegren in the AHL. I mean, yeah. I kind of expected him to be developed sooner, but I have no problem with us using the Detroit model because it works. Let your players ripen.
And he's still super young, too. All right, so it's not like, even with that overripeness, like he's still only 23. He's born in 99. All right, so like, even though he's technically overripened, and now he's like finally established himself, like he's still got a long career ahead of him.
Very true.
Right. Man, and they're only going to get better from here, too, which is awesome.
This 3-on-3 pissed me off because exactly what I mentioned earlier in the episode happened. Yeah. Marner tried to make a fancy play in their zone, coughed Chitsy up the puck. End. Yep. Coughed up the puck, and there's your possession gone. To the credit of Vegas, they made a pretty nasty pass to send Smith
on the breakaway. Nasty goal, too, right?
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you can't have that big of a gap between two players to let that pass go through.
No, definitely not.
So bad defense. And first of all, you won the opening faceoff. You had possession.
Well, before we even, we didn't even talk about the shorthanded goal.
I didn't want to because it made me sad.
But that goal was entirely on the first power play unit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they should have got off the ice. They didn't.
Tired.
And then they made a bad mistake, and they blow the game. And, like, how many of these games have we lost leads in the third period and, you know, lost points because of it? Like, they're going to start adding up eventually. It's not great.
Yeah, but I mean, you take the point, but we... Like, yeah, that shorthanded goal never should have happened, ideally. And, you know, that was a very preventable goal in overtime, so.
Yeah. So after 14 games, the Leafs are fourth in the Atlantic. They are scoring at 2.9 goals per game, which puts them at 19th in the league, which is pretty low for the team that has the Rocket Richard winner on it. We're eighth in the league in goals against at 2.7, which is actually super surprising considering how many games Shogren has played.
He's played pretty well, you know. Shout out to Shalgren.
Our power play is currently ninth in the league at 25%, so top 10 power play, as it should be. But our PK has been hot garbage and is at 76%, 22nd in the league.
Yeah, so, PK's been tough, and I think a lot of that is on the defensive side. You know, losing Muzzin hurts the PK, and I... I think having Liljegren back now will help.
Yeah.
But I don't think Sandin's a penalty killer.
No. And this is the value of Justin Hall.
Who also hasn't been great.
But he's a penalty killer. Now, all right. I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Who starts Saturday versus Vancouver? Matt Murray or Petruzzelli?
Do we have a back-to-back? Is it
back-to-back Friday, Saturday, yeah. So we know Sjogren's going Friday versus the Penguins. But who's going Saturday versus the Canucks?
I wouldn't be surprised if they throw Sjogren in again.
No, they won't.
Because I don't.
You can't risk another injury. Imagine Sjogren goes in there, gets injured, and then all you have is Petruzzelli.
You got Murray coming soon.
Soon? But that could be 7 to 10 days from now.
But that's it. I'm not sure Murray's ready, so maybe we see Petruzzelli get his first NHL game.
I mean, he's got pretty solid numbers this year in the AHL. I don't know if you've had a look.
I mean, against Vancouver, too. Could be worse teams you could play him against.
It's true. Like, he's 6-0 this year in the AHL. He's got a 231 and a 922. And then last year in the ECHL, he played 23 games, had 16 wins, a 201 and a 927. So, like, the kid, he's got really solid numbers. Like, last year in the Marlies wasn't the greatest. He had a 3.12 and a 902, but, like, he only played 5 games. And he's already way better than that this year. So, like, and he was 3-1 in those 5 games last year, too. So it's not like, you know, he wasn't getting the dubs, even though his numbers weren't that great. So I am actually kind of curious to see what he's got. And speaking of people over-ripened, you know, Keith Petruzzelli is the same age as Timothy Liljegren.
Yeah, but goalies always take longer to develop.
True, but I mean, he's a third round pick from 2017. You know? So, we never know. Like, remember when James Reimer came up out of nowhere?
You remember when Jordan Binnington came up out of nowhere and won the Stanley Cup?
There you go, right? There's been plenty of examples of it happening in the past. And so, like, if I'm being honest, there's no value in rushing Murray back. We know he's an injury-prone person, and if you try to rush him back and he's not 100%, you risk him getting injured again and longer. So I would much rather, especially since it's Vancouver who've been absolute dog water so far, I would just rather let's see what Petruzzelli's got. Like, let's see what this depth actually fucking looks like, because I actually think he's going to be pretty good. Like, he's 6'5". He's a big dude.
He's basically the same as Murray.
Exactly. So I'm curious. I want to see what he's got. I want to see.
Yeah, I would prefer him going in than putting in Murray too early.
There you go. All right. Let's get into our buds or dads.
What about fantasy?
Well, we can do fantasy if you want. We only have 15 minutes remaining.
Well, fantasy is quick.
Fantasy is quite quick sometimes.
Any standouts on your roster?
Standouts on my roster. Yes, actually. I made a pickup. Martin Nekas from Carolina.
Oh, he's been real good.
Real fucking good. 17 points. Last week he had 2 goals, 2 assists, 2 power play points, 17 shots, 5 hits, and 2 blocks. This tonight, 2 assists, 1 power play point, 1 shot on goal, 1 hit. So, like, no complaints. He's been very solid.
So I picked up Tyson Barrie, who is a free agent.
I actually had him in another pool. Good pick, because he plays McDavid, you know, 3 power play points.
I dropped Slavin because he's not blocking as much as I need him to, and that's all yeah. I picked him up for.
Yep, and he does not do anything offensively for you.
No, I mean he's one of those that's a great player in real life.
Yeah, he's not. He would win best defensive defenseman of the league. You know, he kind of reminds me of like Ryan T.J. Suter. Brody. Yeah, T.J. Brody-ish, but even T.J. Brody's got to feel like a little bit more offensive flair. Not really.
The odds, he'll get the odd clapper.
Yeah. That's it. And a good breakout pass.
Solid breakout pass.
But let's get to our buds. Our duds! Would you like to kick us off with duds first?
Yeah, I'll take duds.
All right.
Mitch Marner.
Is your dud?
Is my dud.
Ooh-wee. Is this for the freakout?
It is, but I think it's just the repetitiveness of bad turnovers that are just so avoidable. Trying to make the complicated play versus the safe play and just coughing up the puck, and more often than not, it's leading to goals against. Like, he's been responsible for so many goals against. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see his offensive side start to pick up, but you got to clean that shit up, dude.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Especially if you're killing penalties. Fuck.
Especially, yeah. No, like, yeah, 100% agreed. His points are there, as they always are, but the details are not there yet. So I think that's a valid dud. For me, the dud is going to be Morgan Rielly.
Oh. Hey, he's been getting lots of points.
Morgan Rielly is literally a mirror of Mitch Marner on defense. Literally, it's like I could just take copy paste everything you just said about Mitch Marner and then put Morgan Rielly's name in front of it, and it would still be 100% accurate. 100% accurate. Like, doesn't keep the game simple, bad giveaways, plays a PK. like literally, all your points are completely applicable to Morgan Rielly. The guy's -4 on the year already, and like has just made so many just really poor plays in the defensive end, and has like led to immediate goals, and just has not been good enough for the guy who started his long-term contract and needs to be the leader of our defensive core, and just really hasn't been so far.
Fair enough, man.
Well, we're tough here on this show.
Ragging on the Stars.
We call it as we see it. All right, Dara, who is your bud for the week?
Zach Aston Reese.
Whoa.
Coming out of left field with that one.
That came out of the fucking parking lot. Like, whoa. I did not see that coming.
Because we haven't mentioned him once this entire episode. But maybe that's a good thing. I've loved what I've seen out of the guy, and I think there's a reason we lost Ave Kubel on waivers, and Zach Aston Reese is still here. Mm-hmm. The guy is playing solid hockey. He's got really great chemistry with Camp. I think that's why you're seeing the offense.
And he also hits everything that moves.
Yes, he's my kind of player. And I think the Leafs need a guy like that who will hit everything that moves. But he's been in the league a long time. He's won cups, so not all that surprised. But it's nice to see that he's gelling well in his new role.
I'm torn between two for my bud. And I'm undecided on who I should lean towards. And I'm going
who to fucked up less?
Well, then that makes the answer easy.
Well, there you go.
All right.
It's a bud.
My bud is Dennis Malgin.
Yeah, can't disagree. He's been pretty solid, and like, who would have thought? because I know, like, I didn't think he would even be in the roster.
Neither did I. But honestly, like, just really, really fucking solid. Like, he's just been playing solid hockey games and, like, making simple, smart plays with the puck and being responsible defensively and kind of doing everything and being a coach's dream. Like, just, he's been great. But shout out to Timothy Liljegren, who was the runner-up in my mind. But he did give the puck away for the second goal in the Vegas game, hence the fuck-up that took his Bud status away. He did take ownership of that problem, though, so good on him.
There you go.
But, you know, fourth in the Atlantic, it's been a crazy kind of start to the NHL season so far. You know, it's like we feel really shitty about the length that the Leafs blew the 3-1 lead against the Ducks. But at the same time, there has been so many two-goal leads blown in the NHL so far this season. It's kind of crazy. But at the end of the day, like, we're still tied in second in the division. Boston needs to get the fuck off its high horse and fall back to the fucking rest of the world. But right now we're a three-way tie with Florida and Detroit, which is a little surprising. Tampa has
told you. I told you about Detroit. You preseason.
You did, and Buffalo and Montreal are kind of right there still too. Tampa has been a weird one so far, but we know they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, their players are too good not to.
Biggest anomaly on the season so far? The New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, where the fuck have they come from?
The thing that surprises me most about them, though, is that they're getting good goaltending.
Well, that's also surprising with Boston as well, with Allmark.
True, but Boston plays good defensively. They have really strong defensive players. You cannot say that about New Jersey.
They got Dougie Hamilton.
And, like, and Vanecek is 6-1 with a 2.17 and a 9.15.
On the flip side, who the hell thought St. Louis would be dead last in their division?
I'm actually not that surprised.
Probably because they gave up Ville Husso.
Yeah. literally, yeah. Like, Bennington is a hothead who can't keep his fucking head on straight. And everything else they just seem kind of stale.
I mean, Ryan O'Reilly's been absolute dog shit.
Oh, absolute dog shit. I had him in fantasy and I had to drop him because it's like you have 0 points and you played 5 games.
Man, what are you doing? One Blues player, and it's Jordan Kyrou. He just scored today, and I'm like, that may have kept you. That may have bought you another week.
has he even got a point yet? It's 2 goals in 11 games, and he's minus 12.
Oof.
He's minus 12 in 11 games. And Colton Parayko is minus 10 in that same time period. And Torrey Krug is minus... Jordan Kyrou's minus 17.
Thank God we took out plus minus in the pool.
What the hell? Holy crap. Minus 17. That is absolutely astonishing.
That would hurt if that was a category.
How can you have been on for that many goals in 11 games? Like, what? That is insane. Insane. Yeah, no, people are saying the Blues are about to blow it up. I was seeing an article today, the Leafs and the Blues are going to be like perfect trade partners.
Give us Kyrou. We'll take him.
No, they won't be trading Kyrou. The people they said were available. Give us
O'Reilly. I'll take him too.
The people they said were available were Tarasenko, Barbashev, and O'Reilly.
I'd take O'Reilly of those three. Tarasenko's injury prone.
Yeah, but you can imagine a first line of Marner, Matthews, and Tarasenko.
Be pretty gross until he gets injured, and then it's Matthews, Marner, and Bunting.
Yeah, fair enough. But then, like, Ryan O'Reilly just, like, slots as a third-line center on our team, I guess.
Yeah, but what a great third line center.
It's true. It's true. And we would help the PK too.
He would be more valuable to the team than Tarasenko.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We'll see. But we'll see. Like I feel like we're not going to start seeing trades until we're at least 25-ish games in.
I mean, you don't start seeing trades until, like, December or
early. Well, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is usually when it starts, which is, like, 2 weeks from now. So
I know.
You know, we're already almost halfway through November. Like, things are rolling. Rolling. But, you know, the Leafs have managed to turn their season around a little bit after, even though they had in this brutal West Coast trip, not two big, big, big wins against two of the best teams in the league, taking Vegas to overtime at least, and getting a point in that, you know, playing three games in 4 nights against really, really difficult competition. Like, we can be really proud of that. But now the Leafs need to take care of business this weekend. You got a reeling Pittsburgh Penguins team. They got a dub last night against Washington, but like they're still like not all there. And then you got Vancouver, who have just been a fucking tire fire. So we should walk into Vancouver and light them up. I don't care that it's the second half of back-to-back. So that's my expectations for this weekend. And, well, we never forget. Go, Leafs, go.